This episode of the Good to Growth podcast was made possible by our friends at DipJar. DipJar is changing the game of fundraising with their cashless donation jar and an integrated payment platform that enables joyful, engaging, and frictionless giving. With DipJar, organizations of any size can collect donations anywhere and create more giving moments. You can learn more about DipJar at dipjar.com. That's dipjar.com. Or you can follow them on social at DipJar.
Everyone, welcome to the latest episode of the Good to Growth podcast on Nonprofit Hub Radio. I'm Katie Apple, the Executive Director of Nonprofit Hub and Do More Good. Each episode of the Good to Growth podcast is designed to give you, our listener, ideas and inspiration to move your organization from good to growth. In every episode, we feature a thought leader who is working in or with the nonprofit sector to do more good. It is a new year, and we're going to kick it off by talking about one of my favorite topics, nonprofit marketing. Specifically, we're going to talk about how you can go from doing good, which you're already doing, to growth. Here to help us is Larry Warkaczewski. He is a wonderful individual with an amazing background. He has expertise in healthcare specifically, but he's done a lot of consulting and a lot of teaching. He is a professor for one of the leading graduate programs for nonprofit leadership and public administration. Happens to work for my alma mater as well. So Larry, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and why you love nonprofits?
Thank you for having me on. The reason I'm working with nonprofits goes back to where I began. I fondly tell people I'm a recovering attorney. And I started out in the food industry, and I was legal counsel, and I became involved in the management of the firm and become very much involved in marketing. And with that, I had a real interest and what I could do to make more of a difference out there across the country, working with individuals, more so than just selling food or non-food products in supermarkets across the country. So that's when I found nonprofits and healthcare in particular. I did some consulting in that area. And lo and behold, I ended up going into the healthcare arena and also doing some consulting and sitting on boards of nonprofits. Then in about April 2015, Chronicle of Philanthropy carried a major article in their magazine, basically stating that scientists were finding that we had really missed the ball in terms of donors, volunteers, others who are interested in nonprofits, because we're still doing the same things that we'd always done. And therefore, we weren't reaping the benefits of what we've discovered about how people make decisions and how they move forward. And it also fit in with what Ken Blanchard called a rat race. I realized I was in a rat race, having been working for a number of healthcare systems, working with a number of nonprofits, and then I consulted for 2 years with all different types of nonprofits. And basically, Ken Blanchard's comment was, yes, we are in a rat race. When we're done running and churning, we turn around, we look at ourselves, and we're still a rat. So the question was, what are we going to do? And so I decided that it was time for me to take experience of what works, what doesn't work, a lot of the new information out there in regard to how we should change, and put that to work basically teaching. And so I've been with GVSU now for 3 years, and how I intend to help people is to grow. I teach courses and I interact with students, and I also work with a number of organizations who have needs to grow leaders and to grow their marketing and what they can do to make a difference out there in the world. So that's kind of in a nutshell how I've arrived at where I'm at now.
I love that. I guess I had no idea you're a recovering attorney. That's quite a leap. We don't have a lot of attorneys working in the sector. I think the pay scale might have something to do with that. But also, like, I'm impressed because you do so much in the marketing realm, and that's typically such a left brain or right brain. Regardless, it's a different side of the brain than the attorney uses most of the time. Has that been a big adjustment?
Not really, because I really found that once I was practicing as an attorney, I really like to be more engaged with people. And I also found that I like to basically discover new things and develop new things. And frankly, when you're in the law, you're basically looking at the way things have been decided in the past. So I enjoyed looking forward. And so that's what attracted me away from the law. It's been a good discipline to have because you ask a lot of the right questions at times. But it was a switch.
I bet. So let's dig in, because I've been so excited to talk to you about nonprofit marketing. That's kind of my background, and I would say it's a passion of our organization. Of all the content we produce, a lot of it, I would say probably 60% is about marketing and growing your organization. And one of the things we talk about a lot is the difference between a strategy and a tactic. A lot of nonprofits think, you know, sending a newsletter is going to be their strategy, when in reality, that's a tactic. So talk to us a little bit about that. What are the hallmarks of a nonprofit marketing strategy?
Probably a number of the hallmarks would be hopefully some directions that people would feel comfortable in pursuing. For example, transparent. As a nonprofit, we basically have been given an IRS ability to have a certain treatment under the taxation law. And that's because of recognition of the role that we fulfill out there. So we need to be transparent. We need to basically be sharing why we exist and what our outcomes are. Where have we been? What have we accomplished? And to be able to share that with the public, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So transparency can be rather threatening. And because of that, some nonprofits kind of back off a little bit. But I'm finding that people really enjoy transparency, like to see that. And they don't expect organizations to be perfect. The other thing is to be authentic. People are looking for organizations they can trust. And basically, trust is something that, just as you started out talking about the beliefs of your organizations, what you value, that was a clear sign of being authentic and underscoring the importance of trust. And having dealt with you a little bit before this, I can see that is there with your organization. So you're authentic. Another hallmark of solid marketing strategy is to understand not only the donor, but also the volunteers that many nonprofits depend upon, employees, clients that you may have in providing services. We need to have a deeper, a broader understanding of what their interests are, where they're at. One thing that a number of nonprofits are beginning to do is something that we call rounding. And with leaders of nonprofits, I call it leader rounding. And that is basically where you're formally identifying times where you're going to be in contact with a client, with a donor, with an employee. And you're basically identifying what's going right, what can we improve upon, what would you like to see, and do that on a methodical basis so that you have that input. It accomplishes a number of things. One, as a leader, you become better informed, aware of where you need to be, what you need to be doing, what's important out there. The other thing is you send a very clear signal to that client that you're talking with, the donor, the volunteer, the employee, that going back to where we began, and that is you're transparent and you're authentic. The other hallmark of a solid marketing strategy is discipline. Too often times in nonprofits, just like in for-profit businesses, we tend to look for that silver bullet, the magical thing that we should do. And because of that, we become reactive instead of proactive. We don't have a discipline of creating a strategy, putting the tactics that go along with it behind it, and staying the course and looking at those outcomes.
And measuring. I totally agree with you. I feel like sometimes we take the shotgun approach. We just try. Yeah.
And so, you know, we have to reflect on, there are a couple of great books out there that goes back a number of years. One is Forces for Good by Crutchfield. The other one is Good to Great by Collins. And both of those, one is on nonprofits. That's Forces for Good. The Good to Great is mainly about for-profits. And basically, the two books come down to the point of understanding, why are certain organizations very effective, more effective than others? It comes down to discipline. And I would also have to add, based on looking at that, passion. You have a passion for what you do, and you're very disciplined in how you do it. It's better that you are great at five things than try to be all things to all people.
I love the I love what you talked about with rounding, because I think one of the things that I often hear from nonprofit leaders is that they miss, and they recognize that there's a loss of effectiveness when they're not connecting through the various points of their organization's work. Because when you're at the top, sometimes you only connect with top donors and you only connect with your maybe director levels. Whereas, you know, when you're working in the middle, sometimes you're the best in tune with every touch point of the organization. So I love that kind of rounding and making sure that you are connecting at all the appropriate points.
Hi, this is Kevin Burgess, the editor of the Good to Growth podcast. We thought this would be a good spot to take a break and tell you about today's sponsor, DipJar. At countless moments in life, we are moved to express generosity and gratitude by donating to a charity, supporting a school, or giving to a local cultural institution. These moments make up the fabric of the everyday, and there are opportunities to express our investment in the people, causes, and norms that we value. DipJar is committed to improving the world of fundraising. They work hard to ensure the success of their customers, the thousands of nonprofits dedicated to causes that serve our community. DipJar understands how important fundraising is to your organization, and they celebrate your success as their own. That's why they help you find new and creative ways to reach donors in person and virtually. Right now, DipJar is offering listeners of this podcast 25% off your first order. Just head over to dipjar.com and use the offer code GROWTH at checkout. Again, that's dipjar.com. And don't forget to enter the offer code GROWTH at checkout for 25% off your first order. Now, let's get back to the rest of Katie's conversation with Larry Workoszewski.
Every year for the past 3 years has been like a totally unique situation. But 2022 feels unique because we are still somewhat dealing with this pandemic. A lot of organizations had a different funding experience last year than they're ever going to have again because of PPP and other grants and funding that were available. What is a strategy that nonprofits need to employ in 2022?
In 2022, I call it, it's probably going to be the year of pivot and hybrid.
And I hate that word, pivot.
Yeah, pivot. Here we go again. We're going to change again because we've learned a number of things and there's a new normal that's coming about. And so we have to pivot. We have to make another change from where we've been. It's good change because we have to look at what have we done, what works, what doesn't seem to work. And then the hybrid is, we're basically going to have a number of people that will want to be, they're hungry to be in person. They miss that closeness to others. They don't want to just be limited to telephone and Zoom meetings or things of that nature. We're going to have some that will be still concerned and will want to keep a distance more than 6 feet. And then there are others who will say, I want that in-person involvement. And so that's what 2022, I think, is going to be like, is we're going to pivot as organizations, as nonprofits, and then we're going to have to deal with a hybrid group of people out there that we work with as volunteers, donors, clients, if we're providing services, direct services out there, and even to our employees. Because for many nonprofits, we have employees who are working from home, and they may be concerned about coming back into the work setting. So that's what 2022 is going to bring about for us. I think we need to embrace customer experience as we go into 2022. It's going to be more difficult than what has been in the past because of that hybrid nature of people out there and what they feel comfortable with. Think about what that relationship with your major donors will look like. And I'm an advocate for a program that developed with an organization. It's called Seven Touches. We did research and we found that people really connect with you when you have 5 to 7 meaningful touches with them in a year. So you figure that out, that means that you're interacting with them in a meaningful way more than quarterly. So you look at it, and for a lot of people, they say, well, gosh, in the past, we probably connect with certain donors maybe 3 times a year. That's probably not enough. So what you really need to do is you need to look at how many donors can we touch in a year, for example, and how many of those then can we identify the best way to touch them? For some of them, it's going to be a more personal kind of interaction. It's not just on a telephone. It's not on a Zoom. And for others, it may be something else. You're going to be transparent. You're going to share with them, these are our outcomes, and I want to share these with you and talk about those. We've been able to make a difference for a number of people out there, but the challenge is we still have more to serve that are out there. That usually then gets an interest on the part of the individual to roll up their sleeves and say, is there something I could possibly do to help in that regard? One thing that we're seeing coming out of this COVID pandemic experience is there's been quite a bit of research in Europe and also in the United States where we've looked at what's been the effect upon donors, what's been the effect upon volunteers. We're finding that they're more open to looking at meeting needs that are out there. So they've worked with organizations in the past that they felt very good about. And it's not about the organization. Now it's about the impact you can make on somebody who's in need. And so a lot of people are looking at that. And because of that, their loyalty to an organization is going to be more tied to what kind of outcomes do you have? What kind of needs are you addressing? What kind of needs are out there that still need to be addressed? So in the past, some of us talked about how great and wonderful our organization is, but a lot of people are now saying, that's wonderful to hear that, but I'm more interested in hearing the story about how we made a difference in somebody's life, how we saved somebody, how we helped somebody, and those that need help. That all goes into how we connect with people. The other thing that it says is you need to use story when you do so. You need to be telling the stories of those people that are in need. Research shows that stories are remembered 63% of the time. That's where facts and figures are only 5% of the time. You know, I made the same mistake when I started out working with a foundation. I thought if I could only put another page of facts and figures into that brochure, you know, we could have another $5,000 gift. When what really was important was the story.
We counsel a lot on that because nonprofits, you know, they do annual reports, and we get annual reports full of, I mean, granted, they're cute, they're made into infographics, and they're, you know, depicted well in terms of imagery, but they're all stats. And if you can't marry your stats to a story, you're going to bore people. They're not going to become engaged. I love that. I think that's super wise advice. One of our past speakers, Ken Caldwell, he's the Senior Vice President of Compassion International, and he talked about how nonprofits so often position themselves as the cause and position themselves as a story, but in reality, they're just the conduit. Is all we are doing is connecting the person who wants to help with the person that needs help, the cause. I want to get a little bit more nitty gritty because I've noticed recently, and maybe it's the time of the year, but the demand for digital marketing professionals right now in the sector is crazy. Most of the postings I've seen, though, are for entry-level candidates, and that might be because of some of the budgetary constraints that nonprofits have. Should nonprofits, are they doing the right thing? Is this the area to invest?
I think there are a number of areas to invest, but I think it's a good area to invest in because that fits right in with the customer experience. When we look at customer experience, there are a number of ways that we may have relationships with an individual in a nonprofit. It could be that the person is a volunteer. Could be also that they're a donor, and those are different kinds of experiences. And a lot of the information that we collect in nonprofits, it's in silos. So you really need to have a full picture of this individual and the relationship you have with an individual. And if we only look at where they gave us money, we may be missing just a whole part of the picture, because we also find that volunteers are a stronger continuous source of giving than what non-volunteers are. Well, if that's the case, what kind of data are we collecting? And do we have a robust enough data bank so that we know that? So when we have a conversation with an individual, they recognize that we recognize they're providing help in several different ways. We need to have the best data that we possibly can. Frankly, for a lot of folks, I've seen it in nonprofits, they have a deluge of data and they're trying to sort through it and figure out what's important, what's not important. And because you're concerned about so many things in a nonprofit, oftentimes you don't have enough time spent so you can kind of weed out what's the best data for us, what's the most meaningful, and try to pull that together so that you can use that in your strategies and your campaigns.
We always tell nonprofits, have a CRM, have a donor database, but how you select that tool, it doesn't matter as much what it accepts as how you get that data out. If you can never access the right reports, if you can never learn from what you're collecting, it's not a good tool. So absolutely, I totally agree with that. The overarching theme, I think, from this conversation is really UX. It's user experience. That seems to be the strategy and theme we need to carry into 2022.
I totally agree. It's something that we need to spend more time on.
Absolutely. Okay, so Larry, I want to wrap this up by talking about some good news. So every episode, we ask our guests to share a bit of good news for the sector. This could be something that is coming in 2022 or just a feel-good thing you want to share.
As I sort through research that's coming in out there, so that's a lot of what I do, and take that into the classroom, and people still want to give. Contrary to what you may think, people still want to give, and they want to find ways to do that. In fact, some people have told me they've not been contacted. So when they're not contacted, then they believe that apparently people don't need that kind of help, and they're kind of surprised by that. So people want to give, and so we need to give them that opportunity. Second thing is, especially coming out of what we've gone through in the past 2 years, 18 months or 2 years, they want to feel good. That's one thing that we can be very good at in nonprofits, because we have great stories. As you say, we're conduit for those great stories because we're helping people succeed in certain ways. We've got those stories and we've got the ability to share that with people. And the third thing is, I'm seeing that people more and more, they want to make a difference. They have felt helpless for 18 to 24 months, and they're tired of feeling helpless, and they're kind of getting burned out on that feeling. And they're looking for ways that they can make a difference. And so that's the territory of the nonprofit.
Larry, thank you so much. This has been fun, and this has been great advice to kick off what I hope is an amazing year for all of our nonprofits. So I thank you for your time and your wisdom.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the time and appreciate the opportunity to connect with others in nonprofits.
Thanks for listening to another Good to Growth podcast. You can find more great content to take your organization from good to growth at nonprofithub.org. Also, I hope to meet you this May at the Ultimate Nonprofit Conference, Cause Camp. You can learn more about Cause Camp by visiting cause.camp.